from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Is that what you hear when you see Zach Edey on the block?
No.
What damn show was it?
I saw you mouthing the words.
Laguna. You watched. Laguna Beach.
I figured something very familiar to you and Brad.
You remember the Laguna Beach?
No.
No, that wasn't the Laguna Beach show.
Miss. Swing and a miss.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you. The Hills. The Hills. That's what it was. You remember the Hills,
same
don't
as
you?
Same as the OC, right? It was all the same.
No, the Hills was a reality show.
Oh, no. Then I don't know it.
It had like I don't know. It's about these, like, you know, basically these white affluent teenagers in
Beverly Hills.
Okay, it was
the OC, but reality.
Yeah.
The OC was the same. It ran then knocked off from 90210, but now you're just talking about the reality version.
I remember watching those shows and just not relating to them at all. I'm like,
you
bro,
didn't come from that.
I just ate a syrup sandwich.
You came from Greenbrook apartment pool.
That's right. That's right. You know, I mean, they got actual Greenbrooks out there.
We different.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was always like, why couldn't I be in a family like that? You know what I'm saying? With like everybody has like a Bentley or a Benz, and they're 16 years old, and they're getting in car wrecks, and they're drinking and stuff, and they're just like, okay, nothing's wrong with me. You know?
When I think about Zach Edey, I think about this. If you like that, is you like that?
That's right.
He's like that.
Yeah. Started from the bottom.
Yes.
But he really did.
He kind of did.
The basketball, you know what I'm saying?
The basketball world doubted him, just thought he's a big stiff.
I mean, ask people in Memphis when he came. Ask John Harrington or Briarcrest when he showed up, you know, at IMG. When the IMG was here playing Briarcrest, right? He was not this. He was not this version of you know, the basketball player that he is today. And that's a credit to his, you know, development and work and, you know, all of that he's put in.
I think he passed Walker Kessler last night.
Oh, yeah. I think he absolutely did, man. No, you know, question
Walker,
about it.
Walker's got to be rethinking some things today.
Yeah. Walker, Texas Ranger, my brother.
We didn't talk about him getting dunked on.
He got dunked on.
And he wasn't even top 10 on SportsCenter.
Well, that's because SportsCenter
was the
is
top
a
highlight
product.
It's not cooked.
It's
they
cooked.
Had some other summer league dunk. Wasn't nearly as good as Edey's.
I mean, come on. What are we doing? But anyway,
you need that again. The SportsCenter is still a good product.
It's less so, man. Now we lost John Anderson. Goodbye, John.
He did retire. One of your favorites.
I love John Anderson.
For some reason, I remembered that because very randomly you talked about your admiration for him one day.
I thought he was a pro.
And when
he's
I saw
a pro's
him step,
pro.
When I saw him step down, I thought of you.
Yeah, he's a pro's pro.
John Anderson going to be a professor at the University of Missouri. Did you know that?
No. And one of the best journalism schools in the country.
He is going to teach
at Mizzou. Is he from there? Did he go to Mizzou?
I think he's got ties to Mizzou.
That sounds like a Mizzou.
But he is going to be like one of their senior like journalism sports.
According to John, he'll be great.
Yeah.
When is GP going to step down and go teach a class at Memphis?
That's his alma mater, yes.
I mean, that's what we need.
Definitely need him, not us.
No, I'm not.
He is way more journalistic than you and me.
I've been blacklisted.
You've like skipped to columnist now. You didn't even do any B writing or prep writing. You know what I'm saying?
I worked at Scout.
More journalistic.
I gotta give you a little credit. I did the Scout thing. I had to write 50 articles a month.
They have a full.
How many did Courtney have to write?
was that Scout? I don't think that was Scout.
I must know.
Courtney was at the Clarion Ledger.
Yeah, and she's great on ESPN.
She's great.
And rising.
She is continuing to rise.
John Anderson.
Changing our look.
John Anderson got his bachelor's in 87 from Mizzou. ESPN's flagship, 25 years, will join Mizzou School of Journalism's faculty as Leonard Goldson, endowed chair in radio and television journalism.
Bro, going up there with Laird. I mean, Laird just taking everybody.
He did swindle three dudes off that staff in Memphis, didn't he?
Yes, three dudes
It is a step up, right? I mean, the corporate ladder. You go from being at Memphis to an SEC school. I mean, it's an obvious
It happens
jump.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of turnover in that department over Memphis quite a bit, especially in that media relations department. And there will continue to be.
Yeah, well.
You used to have folks that were there for decades and years, generations.
Lamar was.
Bob Wynn. Before them, Lamar, Tammy was there for years. It's flipping over there these days.
It is, and look, it's part of the thing, I guess. But the access is nowhere near as good as it used to be.
This is part of it's got to bring some people you figure over from where he was. And that part of
change
it's
change is not always a bad thing, though. I would say in that regard.
Saw what he's making too, but I know you didn't intend to do all this before the rundown, so we got you a little off.
No, it's okay. I mean, this is this show. It is a free form conversation. Mm-hmm. We have these little bits that we do that just sort of keep us focused, but you don't come here for a regimented this is going to be an adventure.
I like what you said, free flowing.
It's going to be an adventure every single day, and we do have the rundown that we do every day at noon, and we'll do that, but we don't have to do it.
Always have to color within the lines, do we?
Yeah, no, we don't, and we rarely do. And that's, I'm proud about that. Mm-hmm. I'm proud about that, that genuinely none of us knows what we're going to be talking about on a given. I mean, we know what our tent pole is, which today is Big Zach.
Well, thank you. Just so we don't sound like we're flying by the seat of our pants.
But past that.
There's some planning involved. Thank you.
Past that, anything goes. Let's do the rundown.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right. I think we'll sort of just recap this, right? It is the news of the day, which is the Grizzlies play their first summer league game in Utah. And unfortunately, they do lose. That really does not matter whatsoever. No one will remember this. They will remember, though, Zach Edey overcoming Walker Kessler and Kyle Filipowski to get the tip in at the end of regulation with 0.8 seconds left. Zach Edey has an absolutely spectacular debut. 14 points, 15 boards, 4 blocks, 7 of 12 from the floor. Also had an assist. So, I mean, it's just he had the dunk on Walker Kessler.
Yeah, he kind of changed it from head tap to I'll scratch. I saw a little indecision there. Maybe he's deciding I'm not going to overplay it too much after clearly some natural excitement came out.
Yes.
But that was a head tap, I figured.
I thought it was a head tap.
That he switched to a kind of a head scratch.
I thought it was a head tap.
Because I didn't think he wanted to show him. He thought better of showing him up too much in the moment.
So here are my pros of summer league. Zach Edey, far and away. Scottie Pippen showed he has a path to being the backup point guard someday for the Memphis Grizzlies. I think there's no doubt about that. Laravia, although he didn't shoot well from three, found ways to impact the game elsewhere. Only 2 of 8 from three, but he was 6 of 9 at the foul line, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, had 18 points, right? He was actually, incredibly active, I thought. And so that's again,
it's a good sign.
Finding ways to put your fingerprints on games, even if you're not necessarily shooting the ball well, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a pro.
Yep.
Cam Spencer was a pro. 3 of 5 from three, 11 points. Believe it or not, best plus minus on the team. +4 for Cam Spencer in his 19 minutes. He and Zach Edey were the only players on the team who had plus next to their names. Everybody else was a zero or a negative, which is interesting. Jalen Wells led, and Isaiah Miller led the way at minus four. Again, summer league.
Wells will have better games.
Yeah, he'll have better. Let's hope so. I mean, it's hard to be worse. I mean, realistically,
he just has a tired face.
He has a tired face.
But he again, it doesn't. You know, it doesn't mean you're not going to get great effort from him.
Yeah, so
I thought he was a little overwhelmed last night.
Those are my pros. Cons. GG's shot selection.
Well, just calm down.
And general habits last night definitely was a con for me. Jalen Wells was a con for me.
And he's on a contract.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Don't know what the Harris guy does on the second unit. And I'm not sure, what his...
He doesn't need you commenting on him.
And also, Trey Jemison. Oof.
Bro, you're going to see Jemison if they don't go out and get another big.
Trey Jemison was
You're going to see him playing for the big club at times this year if they don't go out and get another big.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the vision is there. And so I think those are my
I think you talked about everybody, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I did. Yeah, Isaiah Miller had some moments. He had a couple of steals there where he was looking at like
that man played 8 minutes, man.
He's looking like Gary Payton.
John called him Gary Payton in the text.
Deaky
man breaking down Isaiah Miller's game. We had to ask who that was. Wasn't that our number seven?
Yeah,
Isaiah?
Number seven. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you went and looked.
And then Harris was 77, right?
I believe that's correct.
And you appropriately said he looks like he was in the Mount Moriah All-Star League.
He sure does. And then we got our boy Dickie Giroux out there.
Playing in damn
Dickie.
Blue jeans.
I love Dickie at the point guard spot. You know, it's just, you know it's not going to.
He can't shoot, though.
Well, you know it's not going to work.
That's right.
And we're just playing it out. We're just having fun.
That's right. That's right.
Giroux, man, I've loved him since Houston.
It's like getting on a banana boat. You know, eventually it's all going to fall apart. Yeah. But it might be fun. It might be fun.
Yeah. I think you broke down every player and everything about this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
pretty thorough.
That's those are the pros and those are the cons. The length of the game. I mean, that was outrageous.
It's not supposed to go that long. Those refs were silly for calling as many fouls as they did. The Philly game before didn't go that long, right?
And the Grizzlies
those dudes were tired after the analysts were tired. It's like, it's a summer league game going on to 2.5 hours.
No, the commentary was also a con, I would say. The commentary was not very good. I mean,
I don't know who the play-by-play was, but the analyst was thorough.
We needed Hasseltine. We needed Hasseltine. No doubt about it.
Was that not the Utah play-by-play guy? I just figured it was since they were there. But maybe
sure
not. Maybe not.
That was a sleepy-ass
Well, they
podcast.
Should have known the whole thing about, you know, the ball. It doesn't start till the ball's tipped in terms of the clock at the end. That's why I was confused that, you know, who are they? But I found out one was Thurl Bailey. I don't know who the play-by-play guy was.
Yeah, so again, sleepy broadcast.
So they get a con.
Yeah, they get a con.
Do better.
The Grizzlies gave up, basically. They had a challenge, and they were like, we're not even going to use it, man. Just make the free throws and get us the hell out of here.
Oh, on the Keontae, because that was not a foul, and he was passing the ball. That was the other thing about
that. They were in the bonus.
I guess they were in the bonus, weren't they?
But I think you would have maybe won the challenge.
Excuse me. It was Elam ending. I'd lost track of the rules.
Did you really not know the situation
the Elam ending rules? I saw 97 up there, and I was thinking about your 5.5. We said we got to get to 93. You had me riding the coaster with you.
Yeah, I was riding it because, first of all, I thought it was a 2-minute overtime period.
Which, wrong.
They just keep changing.
But you were just looking like Brad, looking on ESPN Gamecast.
Well, because
I saw it. It said 2 minutes there. Like, that's where John got it from.
I was sick because I was like, with 5.5, I was like, this is overtime is where dogs go to die. I was thinking we're going to get 5-minute overtime. I was like, okay, whew, it's just only 2 minutes. And then I was like, oh, no, target score, which made me actually feel a little bit better about covering the 5.5. But,
again, you being too hard on G.G. Jackson for a man that saw G.G. Jackson close it out for
he
him
did, he
on
did.
That 5.5 last night.
That was the one
by
good thing
by getting them
G.G.
to, what,
did.
93, wasn't that it? That's the one, and then you were assured of it then.
I wasn't exactly assured of it because they could have shot a three and gotten a 99.
Oh, my gosh.
I was basically assured of it. I was virtually
So
assured.
Many possibilities for you betters that you have to think about and
But
they'd hit a three, I guess.
Yeah, but people are like, you know, you're betting on Summer League? Hell yeah, I bet on Summer League. This is the easiest thing you'll ever do because this is where everybody's just guessing. Everybody's just guessing the same way, right?
They cannot know.
Yes, everybody's guessing.
Like tonight, there's no probably not going to be any Edie.
There's a little
You don't even know anything about who's going to be out there.
Yeah, but you may know that, and they may not. So you can bet the 76ers if you know that. You see what I'm saying? Like you can use the information. The information is a little bit more acquirable than it would be like a random Tuesday in the NBA where everybody knows everything.
But you did not do big bet. You told me you said you bet small.
No, because
Summer League was so
it's a stupid market. I mean, it really is stupid. I mean, I'm not going to sit
and now you're okay. You're arguing against what you're.
Yeah, because I don't know. Well, I don't know if every team's like trying to win or like what the situation
is. Exactly. Now you're on my side.
But it's still beatable. It's beatable.
I rode the coaster with you last night, and it was too much for me in a freaking overtime summer league game.
Dude, prime example.
5.5.
Prime example. Here's a prime example. China 17.5 night one against the Kings. They lose by 50. Okay. Night two, they're 40.5.
Right. Yeah, that Vegas had to adjust. They didn't know it first. And then they
lose by 31, and now they're 28.5.
But there's an adjustment, and there will be, and Vegas will has already adjusted to these rosters.
It's a shame I don't get to fade. You know, these summer league
I was thinking about that. I already missed Brad.
Yeah, but Brad's, there's no injury report for Brad to check, so it won't be as effective.
Limited research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, because you'd have to really.
Maybe we can give you like one Olympic sport.
Oh, that might be fencing or something.
Yeah,
we should give him Olympic basketball.
Let him break down. They give him that, right? Olympic basketball.
U.S.
Give him that one sport.
U.S.
Because I have. I've been missing Faye Brad a little bit.
Yeah.
I have.
Will the U.S. cover every game?
Excitement.
Absolutely not. No way.
What?
See, that's how the sportsbook makes money during the Olympics.
Because idiots like me.
They think you're just going to bet the United States every game. You know, you realize that the United States is going to be at least a 25-point favorite in almost every
game. All games.
That's the thing.
Oh, you asked what they cover.
Yeah, cover every game.
Yeah.
They won't cover
every
game.
No, because they'll
right.
be
Puerto Rico
get
them
by,
be so
they'll big. Get into the 25 margin.
Yeah, Puerto Rico and Alvarado are going to be sneaky.
But we will dominate. You see Dylan Brooks already talking trash and all this about the, you know, they had to go out and get their guys
pretty much after
we beat them in the third place game.
So I'm trash talking. Yeah.
Yeah, he's talking stuff.
You won't see them until the knockout stage, which is, I mean, that's a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a minute. So
yeah, I understand that. Yeah, but he's already shouting you out, saying, we got you. We're going to show you something. Y'all had to go get your big guns.
The United States will probably be like an 8-point favorite against Canada.
If you were the other Canadian players like SGA and them, don't you kind of, shut up.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Dylan's only going to, I mean, you know he's your guy defensively, but
did they play the United States in the World Cup? Do you remember?
Yeah, they beat him in the third place game. What are you talking about?
Oh, Canada beat United States.
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't care about that.
But
though.
That was our dogs,
right.
and that's what Dylan is using. All y'all had to go out and get your
get your
guys.
Yeah. No.
He's been talking a little mess.
Like, you realize that's like
we play them tomorrow.
The Avengers.
You were talking about the exhibition. Yes, the exhibition's tomorrow.
Oh, I wonder if
I'm pretty sure it's in Vegas, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's right.
I wonder if the line's out.
I'm sure that game has got to be on television somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
It'll be spirited just because he's been talking ahead of it. And you're right, we won't see them until the big play, but we get them tomorrow in the exhibition. It should be a little bit more spirited because he's been talking.
Yeah, no.
And not to mention, remember, it's LeBron that he's playing against.
That'll be fun watching.
Who he was talking the mess to on his way out of here in Memphis. It was LeBron. It was Steph, the Golden State. So it should be fun.
That sounds fun.
I don't know why, but I got goosebumps about this USA team. It's different than the FIBA thing because this is our guys.
It's wild watching these goats walk into the gym together, coming off the bus.
Yesterday they had the camera going down, all of them in their jerseys and just going down the list. And you do it, kind of throws you back to old Dream Team.
Yeah, a little
bit. Because you have Hall of Famers on this thing. I mean, this is so much different than sending Walker Kessler and, with all due respect, Jaren Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is real. And so, no, I'm with you. They won't cover every game, but it's going to be... It's going to be fun to watch. And, Canada, that one should be spirited.
Yeah, I do wonder sort of how...
I don't know what time that game is, if y'all find out, but I did read it's tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's in prime time.
I wonder, like, how seriously the United States will take that game.
Very seriously, because
they beat us in the third place game. Exactly, they will.
And you need to set a tone.
I think you're right.
And it's guys like LeBron and Steph who are all about that sort of tone setting.
Agreed.
We're going to come out here and make a statement.
All right, so I'm going to say the line on this game tomorrow is 8.5. Remember that, 8.5.
I have the schedule.
Pique your interest. I see. We got you. You got the you got
tomorrow
the
at 9:30 p.m. U.S. versus Canada in Vegas on FS1. 15th U.S. Australia, Abu Dhabi. That's at 11 a.m. On the 17th, it's Serbia, Abu Dhabi, 11 a.m. 20th, South Sudan, London. That's the 2 o'clock game, and then the 22nd is Germany and London at 2 o'clock.
But what time again tomorrow?
Tomorrow's at
9:30.
9:30 Central at night, FS1, and then once they get to London, they go to Fox. They go FS1 and then to Fox.
I'll be staying up for that one tomorrow night.
Women, if you're curious, July 20th is when they're in Phoenix, and they're doing the USA versus Team WNBA, USA versus Germany. So the women are also later this month.
Yeah, it's
That Team USA versus WNBA All-Stars should be fun.
Now, that'll be fun. That'll be super intriguing for sure. But, yeah, that's the pros and cons. Grizzlies do not get the win, but there were lots of wins. For, like, that was a win. That was a great night for the Grizzlies organization. Make no mistake about it. Hey, I think they are...
Zed Klaiman jumped up out of his seat.
I think he's
very excited about his pick.
Well, again, I think
he saw
he got instant validation. Now, again, this doesn't mean that he's going to do this in the regular season.
Right.
But it beats the hell out of him having 6-8. Right? Or 5-7 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, he gets to walk around Utah like, yeah, that's my guy. I picked him at 9.
Yep.
People said I reached. They said I should draft Dalton Connect. Meanwhile, Dalton Connect's having a rough time in the summer league so far. I mean, you know, not, it's relative.
They played a couple games in the California one. Got a couple in now?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I knew they played one. I thought it was two.
So, yeah, listen, I thought it was a great night for the Grizzlies organization and that front office. You know, two out of the three guys you picked looked really good. I mean, that's amazing. If you hit on your draft picks 67% of the time, you're the GOAT. You're the GOAT. So, anyway, great night last night, even without a win for the Grizzlies organization.
Next story.
I thought this was interesting, and again, it is a credit to good journalism and the difference that it can make, at least in terms of my radar. I didn't become aware that the Memphis Police Department assistant chief lived in Atlanta until I read Sam Hardiman's story a couple of days ago in the Daily Memphian. And in terms of us learning that this assistant police chief has voted in Georgia the last 2 years, despite the fact that, you know, yes, there's a sort of a rule in MPD that you have to be within 2 hours of getting work. You don't have to live within the county. This is something that clearly seems to be taking advantage or goes against that you've got an MPD officer living in Atlanta. Back to the point, great job by Sam Hardiman on bringing this to our attention, and we see what occurs when you do. The mayor announced that he is no longer with the Memphis Police Department, not so much because the information in terms of where he lived and how he was essentially doing this long distance has come out, but because of his reasoning was because of what it could do for morale, what it has done for morale in terms of lowering morale in the MPD. When you got one of your bosses doesn't even live here, imagine some guys can get a little resentful about that. But I would push back against the mayor at this point. They've said, and C.J. Davis said in the stories that are out there today, C.J. Davis, the police chief that brought Chief Sean Jones over from Atlanta, they've said this was the plan the entire time, not to have him move to Memphis permanently. But I would ask you, was there ever a cutoff date for a guy who's going to be essentially doing this per Zoom, being the assistant police chief? If Sam Hardiman hadn't written the story, if the story doesn't come to our attention, is this brother still making $177,000 a year,
yep,
taxpayer dollars, living in Georgia?
Yep.
My guess would be yes, that if this was not outed and was not brought to our attention, the mayor and the police chief would still have it going. And I struggle with that, to try to use it. And yeah, I'm sure it's got morale low in the MPD. A lot of people have talked about the kind of manager that he was and how morale was low off that. But come on. I mean, you got the guy doing this from Georgia and making almost $200,000.
Yep.
And again, she's saying, I've got to bring him because he was part of, part of my core, part of my organization when I was over police chief in Atlanta. As far as I'm concerned, you know, what she did in Atlanta didn't, you know, that she's brought over some of the tactics and all those things, they haven't worked. In fact, they've resulted in murder and everything else. We've talked about that special squad, the murder of Tyree Nichols. I mean, and the fact, and I'm getting a little emotional about this because I'm a little bit concerned at how our mayor keeps going to her back, keeps supporting her as if she's doing this tremendous job. I don't see a tremendous job. I know they've put out some numbers now, John, that crime is down. I see a job that where someone is doing a questionable job at, you know, questions at every turn, it feels like, including, again, it looked like being willing to pay an assistant PD to live in Georgia but to do the job here, almost $200,000, unless the public found out about it. The public did, you shut it down. But what that tells me is you were perfectly fine about it before we knew. Again, that's a question of judgment to me in a leadership position. And again, I just wonder what Paul Young sees that's so great and C.J. Davis, because, again, all I see are questionable decisions and mistakes. Awful leadership is what I see. And, you know, again, shout out to great journalism. Mm-hmm. Shout out in this case to the Daily Memphian and Sam Hardiman for bringing it to our attention. What happens when you do? It stops. Because this is obviously, and the one question I asked was, if that dude was using any MPD money, taxpayer money to go back and forth, not his own money, that's another abuse of this.
Yep.
And so, again, this is why journalism is still important in 2024, not just the stuff and the opinion and the junk you see on social. I'm talking about real dig-in journalism, stuff like this, because that's when the change happens. And so this was exposed, and it was snuffed out, and they've used the whole, you know, well, we didn't think, you know, we don't think anything's wrong with it.
Right.
We're only cutting this off because, you know, we're concerned about morale. Stop. It was an abuse of city funds, everything else, to pay a guy to do this job remotely. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I can't imagine how that is allowed to happen. And I don't understand well, how.
Because the chief was allowing it.
Right. And you know, I don't understand how, if the chief was allowing it, how she is being allowed to continue to her job. Because to me, it just as a
Paul loves her,
and I say that's, why, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm saying boat. I mean, again, just break it down for me why she's been so great. All I've seen are mistakes, you know, and abuses of power.
Yeah, and I think that's the piece of it that I can't say I understand. But you're right. I mean, that's truth to power that we 100%. Just saw. I mean, because he would. I mean. If
the
fuss
story doesn't
was
get
made
out,
about
he's still
it,
making his money.
He's yeah, he doesn't even live here and somewhere. Have any investment here. And it's like, dude, this is very basic. This is very basic. You know, this is such a hard job that if you're not 10 toes down, if you're not invested with every fiber of your being in Memphis, it's not the job for you. It just isn't. You know what I mean? We're in that type of a predicament as a community. And, you know, we're not in a place where, hey, we could do some favors. You know what I mean? We could do some friendly things. We need people that are going to make a difference. Know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not make, you know, people whole. Or, you know, I think that's the tough part. And then it's like there's just no penalty at all. I mean, there's no, you know, punitive action taken. I mean, this is corruption to me as far as I'm concerned. It's a form of it. It's a form of corruption.
Well,
to me.
They were walking the line.
Absolutely.
Like there's nothing Absolutely. You can get them on. They could give, you know,
you can't get them on it, but it's like, you know, come on.
They tell you,
the spirit of the thing.
Oh, it's completely, you know? Completely an abuse. And
yeah,
I think
you guys
that's why
know
it
what
should
you were
be
doing.
Called out again.
Yeah.
And the sign of that is how it stops when it becomes exposed. That's the sign of it's an abuse and how you don't continue it. That's the proof. Because you don't say, you know what, we're going to go on with this because, frankly, he's great for CJ. We need this in the MPD. They didn't do that. And it's the proof that it was an abuse. So, again, shout out to DM and Sam Hardiman breaking the story.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Next story.
All right, this is a crazy story in the hobby world, but we're on the subject of crime and police. Dallas had a card show over the weekend, Dallas-Fort Worth. It's one of the biggest card shows in America. Not the biggest, but one of the biggest in America. And at the card show, there was a case of over $2 million. Okay, worth of baseball cards stolen in a heist, folks. Like in a movie type of thing. So you've seen the video by now, I'm sure, or maybe you haven't. But basically, there's a card dealer who sets up this is the way card shows work. There's a card show in Memphis. It's called the Mid-South Card Show. They do it every couple months, and the way it works is, you go, there's just tables, right? There's tables. People have their stands, their glass tabletops. And you say, hey, I want to see that card. I want to look at that card. Well, this gentleman, Ashish Jai, who is the vintage dealer for Legacy Cards, had Mickey Mantles. He had, you know, all the, Jackie Robinsons, graded, right? That's, you know, they had, you know, certifications. And they were authentic and in good condition. And, you know, some of these were valued as high as $50,000 a card. You know, I mean, they range from $5,000 to $50,000. I mean, these are big ticket items.
Yeah, one for $175.
One for $175. And these are all graded, right? So that's the thing about having vintage cards. Jason's got vintage cards, but they're not graded. And if he sends them in to get graded, they would probably be sent back to his ass, and this is not in good enough condition.
I don't know why you had to use me as the
saying,
example.
Because you come in here, you try to say you got Kareem cards.
I do have Kareem. It's just,
yeah.
Again, it's messed up. The corners are ate up.
The value for those listening at home is not in that there's a Mickey Mantle card. The value is that there's a Mickey Mantle card in good condition.
Well, here's the thing. I thought the line that would interest you from this story at The Athletic, the most valuable of the Mantle rookie cards had a PSA grade of 6. On the card condition grade scale out of 10, which he was selling for $175,000. So a 6, yes. Just a 6 Mickey Mantle.
That's selling for
$175,000.
Huge card.
So how much different if that Mickey Mantle had been an 8? How much different?
Oh, that'd be $1 million. Yeah, that would be a million. I mean, it'd be over a million.
This is a 6 that's $175,000.
Yeah, I mean, it would be one of the most, I mean, it would be super valuable.
So there's a chance for my Kareem, if it comes in at a 2, because is a throwback card, still be of great value.
No.
Or a 3. Say my corners, they've docked me 7 points, I'm a 3.
It'd have to be a 9 for you to have any value. And if you tin it, if you pop a gem, maybe you could like get, you know, $150 for it.
I told you, I think my Tomjanovich might be 8-ish. It's a little bit less torn.
But basically what happened at this the way this worked is, these were all in a case. And 4 gentlemen were on it. It was a 4-person job. One person comes to the left corner of the table and distracts one of the workers by pulling up his phone and asking a question. Another gentleman comes up on the other side of the table and asks him a question on his phone, looking the other direction. And then a third gentleman gets the third worker on the other end of the table and starts asking him questions. And that's when the fourth guy, who the workers believe to be moving chairs around,
was working the event,
right? He comes in, grabs the case, darts off. So here's the question. Here's what's interesting.
It was some real Ocean's 11 type timing.
It was honestly very well
that's
executed.
What it looked like.
Very
they
well
had
executed.
To practice that.
It was all caught on camera, so that they're going to get caught.
See it happening.
Most likely. But in terms of the execution,
yeah. Well,
it was,
you had to work on that beforehand.
Yes, it was coordinated, and it worked brilliantly, really.
But here's the question. A.
Wow, they had to go ahead, ask your question.
Well, they're going to have to sell these.
Because, oh, yeah, you're talking about the thieves.
The next step, yes, right? Yes, yeah, the yes. next step is they're going to have to sell these. And because they're graded, these are all documented. All these cards are documented. There's a certification number. They know who these cards belong to. Because when you submit to PSA, you do so with a name. You know, like I've submitted to PSA. I actually do it under my buddy Steve. Steve's into cards. So I go with Steve because he has the account and everything. I just give him to prep and everything. But when you submit your cards, there's a name and account attached.
Yes.
So they know who these cards were submitted to PSA through. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that that's who the cards belong to, but they can sort of start to connect some dots that way. So you can't sell these is my point. You can't just say, hey, here's a PSA 6 or, you know, certification number XYZ of Mickey Mantle, and nobody know where that came from, especially that card, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what their plan is in terms of getting the money that they have. I mean, they have a value, they have a store of value now, but how do you liquefy it, right? How do you liquidate it? I don't know. I don't really know how you do that without people getting onto your trail. So that's going to be the interesting thing. They could crack the slabs open, resubmit them. But again, that's going to raise alarm bells.
The guy's going to sit on it, Johnny. The guy that bankrolled this is rich enough that he's just willing to sit on them for a while because he knows in this tight-knit card collecting community,
correct,
these cards are going to be hot.
Yep.
Everybody knows they're stolen. Nobody's going to buy them from you. And so you are willing to sit on them.
Right.
I mean, that's the only thing I can imagine. You're not going to be able to sell them right now. And the guys that stole them have already got their payoff from Mr. Bankroll.
Right.
I mean, that's the only way this could work. I want to go back to the execution because they had the right number of guys. So how long did they have to stake it out, John? How long did they have to know? Because you can't guess on number of guys that you're going to need, and they had exactly the right amount. They knew the workers they had to distract. So mm-hmm. back to the planning of that execution,
mm-hmm.
how long do you have to watch the Dallas card show to be able to pull that off the way they did?
Yeah.
That's where I go back to that, like, that Ocean's 11 type stuff. It felt like it's like when you're staking out a bank or something before you hit it, you're going to do that days before.
Yep.
But this is where you can help me understand. Card collection show just going to be on the weekend, right? And if it's a yearly thing,
right,
like, how can you hit so perfectly on what you're going to need to do if you haven't had the sort of days to stake it out in the way you would a bank robbery? That's what I'm asking, because this thing ain't every week, right?
No.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I don't. I mean, clearly, maybe the planning that went into this went into for years. I don't know, for months. Clearly, but the way it's pulled off, you can see the video of it. It's pretty. It's very movie-ish to watch them pull this off.
Yeah, I think
all the parts.
They had been scoping him out all day. They had been scoping out that.
So they can figure. Okay, so you watch him for the day, and you get enough in.
Yeah, and you get a kind of feel for it.
I mean, that's some good.
You got to find out who is on this table.
My thing is usually criminals are dumb.
Right.
They're going to make mistakes. This was pulled off brilliantly.
It was.
If they were able to plan this just by watching for a couple hours in the morning how they were doing it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the way, because that's the only way you know exactly how many workers you got to distract. That's what I was confused about.
Yep.
Then that's really impressive execution by those guys. Again, most of that, they've done this before.
Yeah. I mean,
they worked together before. This was a pro job.
No, I think that's absolutely correct.
And I'll tell you, that's my,
I would agree with
that's
that.
That's my sort of, police sort of... inside view of that.
Now, do you believe that one of them, somebody's going to snitch?
That's what an assistant chief told me from Atlanta, what I need to be looking at. Yeah.
Do you think somebody's going to snitch?
No. This is too high level, John, is the feel I get about it.
Gotcha.
Too high level. Again, these cards will be lost for years.
Yep.
Almost forgotten about.
Okay.
And as you said, the bankroll man's going to pass them down to his kids. Yeah, and that's when they'll pop back up.
Interestingly, I don't know if they'll be.
Again, the bankroll man doesn't need the immediate money. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need a quick sale of these stolen items.
Right.
Because he knows. I can't. Number one, I'm not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But he had enough money to bankroll this operation. He's going to be willing to sit. Again, I'm talking to the assistant chief over in Atlanta. We're on this.
You get right on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be his full focus.
We're FaceTiming.
Now. It's going to be his full focus now. But yeah, it's a heck of a story. I feel bad for the, you know. I guess I would say this: like, did you really? Because I'm not victim blaming here. I'm not going to do that.
But did you really bring $2 million of cards, of those cards?
Oh, he's stupid.
Thinking that you were going to sell them that day?
He's stupid because I've watched King of Collectibles. And when you've got that much in a suitcase, exactly. You're going to need to have that thing handcuffed to
exactly
something.
Right. Exactly.
What are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing?
In fact, what he should have done.
Got it under a table. That's dumb.
Why not auction them at Golden? I mean, that's what he should have done.
Because he figures he don't need the middleman. He's going to make
well,
it by himself, right?
I guess that's.
They're going to take a
I guess that's true.
Piece.
But what I would say is. What I would say is, I honestly think he was more flexing. I don't know this for a fact, but I think he was more so flexing.
Oh, your argument is he brought this on himself.
I mean, I'm not victim.
He went in there like Gigi Jackson feeling himself.
But he's like, look, I got $2 million of the cards here. I'm going to put them out here. Nobody been
knowing
come up
that
there
nobody's going to buy them. You're just flexing.
Dude, these are cards that are so, they're so, you know, niche, right? That if you. And they're so expensive that if you're going to have a seller, you're going to know you're going to have a seller. Or, excuse me, a buyer. You're going to know you're going to have a buyer, you know, before that card show ever starts. Mm-hmm. Who is walking up to a card show, I don't care how big it is, saying, today is the day I'm going to buy Mickey Mantle. I got $50,000 in my pocket.
Maybe Jake LaRivia.
I don't even think Jake would do that, bro. Jake's going for the modern bangers.
Yeah, you said it was C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud, kaboom! Burrow, kaboom!
Yeah, it wasn't 50,000, it was
$2,500. No, it was like, yeah, exactly. Damn, you remember,
so Jake's a little lower level.
Yeah, so I just feel like that's such a specific card that you would know if you have a buyer. You don't have to wonder. Did he sell any of them? The answer is no. That's why they got stolen. That's why, you know, there were still all those
cards. I mean,
cards.
He was a fool, but he, you know.
I'm not saying that he deserved
it. Yeah, I mean.
But.
Know your surroundings, I suppose.
Like, come on, bro. You really didn't expect to move those that day, did you? You didn't expect to sell any of them, did you? I would have just consigned them. I would have just consigned them with Golden.
Good old John victim blaming.
I'm not victim blaming. I'm just saying.
I heard some in there.
I'm just saying that
was
like.
Flexing.
Dude, it's a $50,000 card.
I get it. I get
you. You know
point.
What I mean? It's a ton of them.
It's no need to have that out there.
You're kind of asking for it.
You kind of need to put it in a lockbox.
It's like, honestly.
So his business was already kind of out there, though. Like you said, these dudes knew he was a easy target. You know, feeling himself, had these cards in a place where they shouldn't be there.
It's like driving an exotic vehicle around in Memphis. I'm not saying that you deserve it, but understand, like, what might happen, bro.
Are you going to get got?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying that you deserve it or that you're...
Unless you're in that Tesla truck, I don't think anybody's taking that thing.
I wouldn't drive a super high-end car in Memphis.
That's why Brad drives a Volkswagen Beetle. Brad has he got a brand new car. It's a Beetle.
Used.
Because he knows that no one's going to try to steal the Beetle.
Brad runs through cars. He'll flip again in a year.
What are you in right now?
He used to.
I'm driving a 2020 right now.
You're driving a 2020.
I just gave my son a Mini Cooper.
Okay, you gave
he's
him the
flipping
Mini
cars.
So what are you in?
By the way, my insurance went up quite substantially as
I know that's
another driver.
I'm scared of that.
I have a 2020. It's a X3. It's a BMW.
BMW.
So you didn't even know he had flipped again. You didn't even know that. That's what I'm telling you. He's been running through cars.
He's driving a BMW.
2020.
Look at Brad.
He may have received some of these funds from the cars.
That is awesome.
When I stole the card and I resold it, afforded to do
that. Are you working remotely as a cop somewhere in the country, too, living in Memphis, but working remotely, getting some money?
You guilted Brad.
This is a two-working household, brother.
You're talking about he driving a Volkswagen. You see the way Brad said, that man ain't no Volkswagen. He flipped. He's going to flip again here in 6 months.
I'm not the highest earner in my house.
Hey, I'll say this, man. You guilted Brad out of that Taurus, didn't you? You guilted him.
How long
right
did
out
I drive that Taurus?
Well, a long time. And
decade.
I think you've reached a new level now where now you want more, right? You were in that car, you paid your dues.
And Jason
you
made fun
it
of
out,
you. And you made
and
fun of
him. And now you're flipping, your friend,
you,
your
and
son's
you said
got
grandma
the mini,
busted
you got the BMW.
Because you said grandma bust his ass on that car. And then so now you...
Our pushback was what he said he could sell it for. I did not talk about grandma
on the deal. I claimed it was worth like $10,000 or $15,000. I sold it, by the way, a decade later for $5,000.
Yeah.
I sold it for
tried to go high again. You tried to go
$5,000.
So, but Grandma did bust your ass on that one.
I might have gotten screwed by Granny.
What did Granny sell to you for?
$14,500.
Yeah,
it's a 2010.
Hey, she got it on that
15,000 miles.
Man, you put a lot of miles on it.
I put 70,000 miles on the car.
You might have got your money's worth.
I think I did.
I think you got his money's worth.
Listen, I bought that used Mini for $18,000. Sold mine for $5,000. I paid $13,000 for that Mini Cooper.
Hey.
But he's doing great compared to me.
Oh yeah, your situation is tragic. Let me. Can I have a while we're on the subject because it's one
I'm
feel,
a book on
I,
this.
I feel great passion about. My first car we bought from a family member.
Yep.
Right. It was 2500. It was a Nissan Altima.
Okay.
You bought your car from your grandmother.
Yeah, and I was also like 40 years old.
Right. I bought my first car from my uncle.
Yeah.
Right.
It's weird.
14. All of us.
I think
family member.
Family members should give their cars to family.
Ooh, that's touchy. That's touchy.
I always felt a certain type of way that my mom had to buy the car from her sister.
Hmm.
I've got a personal experience with something like this that I can't talk about without getting emotional.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of with you because I went through something where I believed the same thing you did. But maybe because it's just tradition.
Well, I like buying for family members, just like I did, because these are one-owner cars I just purchased. I want to know that Carfax, like, I know my bathroom. Like, and I knew that car when I bought it, like, the back of my hand when I bought that Taurus.
I mean, if there is no value, if it's just sitting there, if it's not of use, if there's no value,
if it's paid off,
then I understand handing it over. But if it's a value, to, you know, if it's your ride and you need money to go get another ride, if you're going to sell it,
well,
I just think
but Granny was in a nursing home.
No.
My only point would be there are circumstances where it is still appropriate to give the family. I just don't think it goes all the way across the board.
Mine was sitting.
Willing to listen to anything. And that yours is sitting, so I kind of get that.
I was the one with the money. I was the one with the money. My other cousins, there are three of them, would have loved to have that car. I'm the one who paid for it.
Oh, well, that's the difference probably, right?
She ain't giving it to anybody. I paid for the car.
Well, yeah.
I think there are circumstances where it's appropriate.
Yes.
I follow you. If you're an only child and you got nobody in the mix, yeah, give that thing over.
If you got it like that, do it. Hand it down. But if you don't, you need the money. Yeah. Yes, by all
you
means.
And
it's a family
cash.
Member, sell it.
Yeah. If I'm in a position,
I hear you,
Jay.
That's actually right.
Case by case.
I would rather, like, you know, I don't need you to give me $3,000, right?
No, I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? I'd rather just give you
that car. Yeah.
And if you can, you should. I mean, if you can, it's a great. That's like a blessing.
In my case, it's
a blessing to be a blessing.
Hey, bro, it was sitting there. It was collecting dust. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's personal.
And I'm like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, why do we have to pay for that? Like, you know, my mom ain't got no damn money. Like, it ain't gonna hurt you. It ain't gonna cost you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
that's also part of it too.
Yeah, like it ain't gonna if it doesn't cost you anything and you're not driving it.
Oh, that's you're blessing somebody.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I do every day. Whether it's I bless you or somebody else, like
I don't see you give me any cars.
Well,
I get a gift from Chicago.
I tried to. I don't know how many times I've told you go see my man.
How
Chip.
Generous
you don't
are.
Do it, and maybe now you'll finally do it,
dude. We were with them when I did it.
Well, again, I'm not blaming the victim here, but
oh, you love it.
Let me be clear.
You big time victim blaming.
Let me be clear.
It's your M.O.
Jason doesn't even have a loaner or a rental or anything.
Let's just talk about when you owe $31,000 on a car and you can't even drive it.
Oh, brother.
Because it needs a new engine.
I'm so sorry.
Let's just get it out there.
Get it all out there, bro.
Let's just get it out there.
Bro.
You think you got issues?
Yeah.
We all got issues.
Well, you Gucci, man.
But let's just talk about...
I'm sorry.
Just having to pay
you
a car note, a high-dollar car note on a car you can't even drive right now
because
it needs a new engine. And they can't even
find it.
And it's on back order.
That's crazy.
So it could be weeks or months.
I think you need to give him your BMW.
I got jobbed. I did.
I think you need to give
him. I got a lemon.
Brad, will you be willing to give him your BMW?
I would give him the shirt off my back, absolutely.
And I tell you
we don't want the shirt. We just want the BMW.
I'm frustrated enough. Name names.
Okay? Oh, my God.
That's how frustrated I am by this.
I can totally see why.
But we're not going to do that. Jason going to figure it out.
He's getting a stew like Kendrick.
Thank God for my wife and her Volkswagen.
That's right.
Because that's what I'm in.
Man, but if that one...
And I praise God that she's got
it.
Or
else Flintstoning it if something happens to that
one. I'd be Ubering.
Yeah.
And that's what I focus on, John, is that God has provided in the sense
that,
okay, we can get it done with one car.
That's right.
It ain't easy.
Cars are, in general, a piece of S in general.
Oh, like, dude, as soon as you drive them on the floor,
they're a sewage dump of money when it comes to insurance, payments. They're just an absolute boatload of crap.
They are.
I hate cars.
I can't even go flip this thing.
I hate
and
cars.
And go just jump in something else because, again, you owe so much still.
Yeah.
And had to buy it at the worst time in American history buy a car 2 years
awful.
Ago. Worst time.
I'm sorry.
And now I'm stuck. Damn thing, don't even go.
I do. I mean, I consider myself relatively blessed.
Like, so be careful.
Any car trouble I've ever had, I've self-inflicted with a car accident.
Right.
I mean, I'm working with a guy that doesn't have one right now, and I'm working with a guy whose granny busted his ass on his last purchase. You know, so, I mean, you guys have had rough run-ins.
I mean, but you, Gritty hit a lick on Brad. She said, hell yeah, 14-5, let's go. Car was worth $9.
Took that to the casino.
She sure did. Yep.
Might have hit that night.
Hey, you said she was in the nursing home?
She was at the time. Damn, rest in peace, Grandma.
Hey, but you know what, though? You let her,
God rest her
in one of her final acts, you let her flex on the nursing home employees. She was making it rain on the nursing home employees. 14,
I will say,
five.
Hey, I got that car was worth that.
Yeah, I'd say you got to win the miles that you got on it.
I ran a 14.5 used car with 15,000 miles for a decade.
And then you
got to
take the five off that you got back for it.
I basically
paid. I mean, essentially what you paid in terms of the miles you put on it.
I drove for a decade for $9,000.
That's damn good. That's damn good. That is
$9,000 for a decade.
And you got a check at the end of it.
Yes.
That felt good.
And that was where the five comes in. If you take, if you take 14.5 minus five,
right.
That's $9,500.
No, you did good.
Well, no, Granny got you for that five though, didn't she? She couldn't just round it off to 14. She had to get that five. You know what I'm saying? For the
Grandma wasn't driving it, and the other folks, I needed a car. So
That's funny.
You need the car.
Enjoy your cars.
Cars are cool, though. During COVID, there was a point where I had a conversation with my wife. I'm like, can we, not have cars?
Yeah.
Because, you're Ubering, you're not going places, and it's this thing is sitting here. The insurance just went up for Jake.
Mm.
You know how much that cost? Yeah, what do you think it costs for a 16-year-old boy now with every single discount for good student?
Ungodly amount.
Man.
$850 a year.
Man.
$850.
Just to insure him.
Just to insure that dude.
Mm. That's
stupid, bro.
I'm not looking forward to that day. I'll tell you that. I will tell you that. But I got a while.
And I need a mobile because there's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, because, otherwise you're just carpooling.
I've been carpooling all summer until we got this thing done. So it's you got to have it.
At least Jake got something I don't got, a car.
Well, he worked for it. He'd been working for it.
Bro is blessed.
He paid for part of it.
Jason is 47 years old. He don't even have a car. That's crazy.
I ride
my wife's ride.
And you got a job. You ain't like one of these regular Memphis dudes out here that's driving his, girlfriend's car.
I pay a note, and I still ain't driving.
That's crazy. That's freaking crazy. I'm sorry
to
laugh.
No, you're right. It's crazy.
That's nuts.
I want to go burn something down. How I'm feeling.
They can't even pause the note, bro.
Yeah, what happens?
Can you call the bank?
And this is to the dealer that you brought it back to him, right?
Yes.
You said this is...
Hey, that is outrageous.
We don't have to disclose. That's fine because it might be a client, but
it was. It's not anymore.
All right.
You know.
Thank goodness.
But
could be again. I guess.
I don't know. It's hard. I don't know how you endorse them after that one.
We don't want to be those loyal servants. I mean, I got computer people that I don't endorse anymore. If you follow what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you got to. There's an element of being honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There really is.
Boom.
Yeah, I mean, that is...
My favorite is Andy Wise, who endorses everything. Nothing's bad.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I should have been a consumer reporter. And then I'd advertise for everybody, and it'd be man, is there anything bad anymore? No, you endorse everything.
Andy Wise said Catfish Cabin. Well, you got to get there. You got to get there. The food is incredible.
Yeah. He doesn't give a... So funny, bro.
I need a smoke.
It is.
I did this.
It is nasty work. It is nasty work to be paying a note on a car you can't even drive. That's the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, and would you may need to call them and just kind of check up on them, see what the status update is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Still on back order. I already know what it's going to be.
Still
That's
on
the
back
other thing.
Order.
I could call them. I know the answer I'm going to get. I'm waiting on their call. I mean, we're just you got the whole country to find an engine. You know?
That takes me back to being
I got the warranty thing. I got my money I'm going to have to pay.
Yeah,
go get it. They can't find it.
So you do have the warranty, though. Yeah.
Yeah, but all that does is pay for the engine. That's it. They're still. They tell you $200 deductible, all you're going to have to pay. BS.
Because
by the time they're done with all the fees and everything else that adds up, I'm still paying over $1,000. Thank God,
and
though.
You need the vehicle.
Thank God I've got the warranty. But look at how I needed it.
Right.
For a car that I thought was, you're buying brand new $15,000 where they put all the guarantees on it.
Yeah.
That I thought, I'm not going to need this warranty anyway, but let's go ahead and pair. Freaking engine, 50,000 miles goes out. I'm not dogging it. I ain't one of these guys out here donutting or anything
else.
I got it. And like they've told me,
I think you've been driving crazy.
You can just, sometimes you just buy a lemon. It's like, what the hell?
That
you guys
seems,
are guaranteed that thing? It's like, that's the best you can give me right now? Burn it down.
Burn it down, bro. Burn it down. We're
not going to do that, though.
Get you one of these crossover vehicles. I love the crossover.
I could do that. Yeah, I'll just go take this $31,000 I owe, and I'll just go add it to something else, Brad.
Sorry.
Granny didn't help me. I don't have the granny to help me or anything
like
that.
I don't think Granny helped out here.
I'm just saying. No, she didn't. She took advantage of me.
I will say this.
I don't have relatives right now that I can go to.
I will say this. I will never buy a new car, ever. Mark my words, ever again. Yeah. Not once. Will
Thanks
you ever buy
for this vent session.
Yeah, we didn't do a good job
it's
listening.
It's been two for me. I'm going to ease up rest, you know.
Now, his Jeep was not new.
And then today.
His Jeep was not new.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, but it was sold as new. It only had 15,000 miles, so they sold it bumper to bumper brand new because, again, they had
you
done
got
all
that warranty.
The inspections, and here's the Ally warranty.
Certified type
yes,
deal.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Certified used is what they car. Call it. Exactly. Yeah. So it's essentially they're selling it to you as brand new.
I get it.
How does an engine go out after 65,000 miles? 15
it
before,
should not.
50 by me, engine's done. Not. How does that happen on a Jeep Cherokee? Supposed to go 300,000.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I got to go.
Brad, can you finish the show?
I hit the
I'm
number
go
here.
I'm
going to
go drive out to the dealership.
My bad.
I'm not sure where you're going. You don't have a vehicle. We'll take a break. Jason and John, right here on FMBSP.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.